In these chapters, we can understand how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished the Krishna's Rasleela pastimes and the separation of the gopis, separation of Krishna from the gopis. So they are described in these chapters, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's highest moods of ecstasy are described in these chapters. So they are quite esoteric in nature, but we will try to go through them. Chapter. Krishna Vicheda Vibrantya Manasa Vapushadiya Yadyat Vyadatta Gaurangas Tallesha Katya Teduna.
I shall now describe a very small portion of the activities performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his mind, intelligence and body when he was bewildered by a strong feeling of separation from Krishna.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Swayam Bhagavana. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Bhakta Guna Prana.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to Lord Gaura Chandra, the life and soul of his devotees.
The first 11 verses of this chapter, they are like an introduction where Kaviraj Goswami, before actually beginning to describe the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Krishna, he actually prays the superiors and he prays for the strength to describe these pastimes, and he also describes the source of these pastimes, and also he tells that in what mood we should actually hear these pastimes. So he prays for the strength to describe the pastimes, he describes the source of these pastimes, and he also tells in what mood one should actually hear these pastimes. So this is what is there in the first 11 verses. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Chaitanya Jivana. Jaya Dvaitacharya Jaya Gaura Priyatama.
All glories to Lord Nityananda, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very life, and all glories to Advaita Acharya, who is extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Jaya Swarupa Srivasadi Prabhu Bhakta Gana. Shakti Deha Kariyena Chaitanya Varnana.
All glories to Swarup Damodar and all the other devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. Please give me the strength to describe the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So he is, we see that because these pastimes are particularly very special, he is again praying for the strength to describe these pastimes. And why he is particularly praying for the strength to describe these pastimes, what is so special about these pastimes, that he describes in the next two verses, 5th and 6th. Prabhura virahon mada bhava gambira. Bhujite na pare keha yadyapiha yadira.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotion of transcendental madness is in separation from Krishna is very deep and mysterious. Even though one is very advanced and learned, he cannot understand it.
See, somebody who may be advanced, even advancement in devotional service, that is also not a qualification. What to speak of simply being learned? One who is advanced and learned, he cannot understand it. Bhujite na pariyaha varnite ke para. Seibu je varne chaitanya shakti dena yandre.
Seibu je varne chaitanya shakti dena yare.
How can one describe unfathomable subject matters? It is possible only if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him the capability.
So it is actually unfathomable, but when a person receives the blessings and the mercy of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then a person can describe. So blessings make the impossible into possible. Now in the next four verses, 7th to 10th verse, Kaviraj Goswami talks about the source of these pastimes which is going to narrate. So they are basically two sources, the diaries of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami has recorded these pastimes briefly, and Raghunath Das Goswami recorded these pastimes elaborately. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that both of them simply recorded these pastimes. They did not describe with literary embellishments. So now Kaviraj Goswami is making an attempt referring to these diaries. He is trying to describe these pastimes in a very poetic, with a lot of literary embellishments. So these sources are given in the next four verses. Swarupa Gosai Ara Raghunatha Dasa Eiduira Kada Chate Elila Prakasha.
Swarup Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami recorded all these transcendental activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their notebooks.
So here we see that Srila Prabhupada in this purport he talks about the Sahajiyas. So he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Krishna is not at all material. They cannot be understandable by a person on the material platform. He says that nonetheless, there are a group of people called as Nadiya Nagaris. They have invented a method by their concoction. They invented a method by which they worship Vishnu Priya. They introduced the worship of Vishnu Priya. I think yesterday, going through was explaining that. Generally the scriptures, so many times, for example, some people they criticize that Sita's sacrifice is glorified in Ramayana, but Urmila's sacrifice is not glorified in the Ramayana. That some people criticize. But the point is that Valmiki, Urmila's sacrifice is definitely very glorious, but some sacrifice are not explained by the author itself openly, because understanding the consciousness, like they have performed the sacrifice, they didn't want to be recognized by others. So Valmiki Rishi is also, and understanding the mood, he has not deliberately glorified them. So some sacrifices are like that only, like the sacrifice of the mothers. They are actually always in the background, but nevertheless the sacrifice is definitely glorious. So similarly, the sacrifice of Vishnu Priya, it is definitely very highly glorious. But sometimes when people actually concoct some method, and then they try to invent some method, we definitely glorify these characters, but when they concoct and then invent a new method of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and them, then it becomes a concoction. So Prabhupada highlights this point. This certainly indicates their ignorance concerning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In the opinion of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such worship is a product of imagination. And many other people also, they have also invented certain methods of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are all these methods of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by their concoction have been rejected by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then Prabhupada explained there are 13 types of apasampradayas. 13 types of apasampradayas. So Shivaram Maharaj has explained in the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, he has given a definition of this 13th type of Apasampradayas, and also he has described two Apasampradayas a little more in detail, Radhakund Babaji's and Sakhi Bekis. But these 13 Apasampradayas that like Aula Baula, I'll just mention briefly. I think we discussed previously, but I'll just mention briefly. So, Aula means a mendicant sect that follows a very easy course of worship. And Baula is a sect of mendicants who wander about singing sweet melodies about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna while engaging in illicit sex. Kartabhaja is a sect in which they equate Guru with the Lord in all ways. They equate the Guru with the Lord like in all ways. And fourth is Neda. Neda means, literally it means shaven headed. That means they consider the greatest religious principle is to be actually shaven headed. And fifth is Daravish. I think this term came previously. Where did it come? Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatan Goswami. In Varanasi. Yeah. Daravish means Muslim mendicants. And this word has been used by Prabhupada to mean hippie. Prabhupada translates sometimes as hippie. And sixth is called as Shani. Shani means false renunciants who give up standard scriptural practices, standard spiritual practices. And seventh is Sahajiya. Basically, they take up the pastimes of Radha and Krishna cheaply. That is the main idea of Sahajiyas. And eighth is Sakhi Beki. Sakhi Beki means they imagine themselves as the gopis and adopt the dress of women. And ninth is Smartha, formalistic and materialistic Brahmanas. And then Jata Gosai, the caste Goswamis, those who claim actually because of being born in the Nityananda Vamsha, they claim actually only we are allowed to actually give initiation. Nobody else is allowed. Jata Gosais. I think Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion purport also about this caste Goswamis. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur severely he fought against the caste Goswamis. 11th is that Ativadi Jagannath. So they are basically proud devotees. And 12th is Chudadari. Chudadari means they consider the only religious principle is to be having a shika and a tilak. That is Chudadari. And 13th is Gauranga Nagari. I think Gauranga Nagari and Nadia Nagari both are same, it looks like. So Gauranga Nagari means those who place Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the position of Krishna as the enjoyer of women. I think we had discussed previously in the Adilila. So this is about the 13 Apasampradayas. Of course, he has also described about certain Radhakund Babaji's, what are their ideas, and then Sakhi Bekis. So that will be a little beyond the level. So here Prabhupada says that, therefore, without reference to these notebooks, one cannot understand the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone inventing a new method for worshipping Mahaprabhu is certainly unable to understand the Lord's pastimes, for he is bereft of the real process of approaching the Lord. So the main theme of the purport is that one has to refer to these notebooks, diaries of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says that apart from these two diaries, there are many other commentators who have also written who are also actually noted the recorded the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But unfortunately, many of these diaries or notebooks are not available. That Saraswati Thakur mentions that the people of the world would benefit greatly if such notes were available. It is most unfortunate situation for human society that none of these notebooks is still extant. And many other notebooks also. Ninth verse. Kshane kshane anubhavi eidu ijana sankshepe bahulye karena kadacha grantana.
These two great personalities, Swarup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami, recorded the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moment by moment. They described these activities briefly as well as elaborately in their notebooks.
So, Swarup Damodar Goswami described briefly and Raghunath Das Goswami described elaborately. Just like suppose when you are some lecture is happening and then you are actually noting down the notes. You may just record the notes in short words, short points. Or so. You may not be able to describe in a write in a very poetic manner while hearing. Similarly, because they were participating in the pastime, they were directly observing the pastime. So, obviously, they would not have a separate time to take out to describe with a lot of poetic embellishments or literary embellishments. They simply recorded these facts, but they did not create any descriptive literary embellishments. So Kaviraj Goswami is actually has written these pastimes with the more descriptive embellishments.
Swarupa Sutra Karta Raghunatha Vrittikara Tara Bahulya Varni Panjiti Kavyavahara.
Swarup Damodar wrote short notes, whereas Raghunath Das Goswami wrote elaborate descriptions. I shall now describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities more elaborately, as if fluffing out compressed cotton.
So this is a beautiful analogy. From that, he is actually expanding. When you fluff out a compressed cotton, it actually expands it to a huge size. So, Kaviraj Goswami is actually fluffing out. So, now this 11th verse is like the most important verse. This has been quoted repeatedly in this particular chapter by Prabhupada. This is the most important verse which tells about with what attitude we should hear these pastimes. So basically, two things one should hear: with faith and with love and with devotion.
Tate Vishwasa Karishuna Bhavera Varnana Paibe Bhavera Jnana Paiva Premadana.
Please hear faithfully this description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic emotions. Thus you will come to know of his ecstatic love, and ultimately you will achieve love of Godhead.
So this verse tells the attitude with which we should hear, and also gives the phalastuti. When we hear in the right mood, then one will develop love for the Supreme Lord. So now the 12th to 14th verse, Kaviraj Goswami describes essentially what was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in these pastimes. What was his inner mood? It is essentially the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, especially when Uddhava visited Vrindavan. That time, what was the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna? That was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Krishna Maturaya Gele Gopira Yedasha Haila. Krishna Vichede Prabhura Sedasha Upajila.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation from Krishna, His condition exactly corresponded to that of gopis in Vrindavan after Krishna's departure for Mathura.
Uddhava darshanayeche radhara vilapa krame krame haila prabhura sevunmada vilapa.
The lamentation of Srimati Radharani when Uddhava visited Vrindavan gradually becomes a feature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental madness.
Radhikara bhave prabhura sada abhimana sei bhave apana ke hoya radha gyana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotions exactly corresponded to those of Srimati Radharani when she met Uddhava. The Lord always conceived of himself in her position of sometimes thought that he was Srimati Radharani herself.
So here Prabhupada's purport is that Kaviraj Goswami is describing the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that one should never disturb the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pure Vaishnavas never disturb Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception of being Srimati Radharani. So especially the fault of the Gauranga Nagaris or Nadia Nagaris is that they disturb the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is in the mood of a devotee, but they make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of the enjoyer of the gopis, enjoyer of the women. They disturb the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that point is again highlighted here. And then Prabhupada explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, like one may feel that, like what is in it for me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of feelings of separation from Krishna. But Prabhupada writes in the purport, this mood of separation from Krishna, it is the easiest way of success for all the jivas. That means it is relevant for all the practitioner devotees also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested himself in order to show that cultivation of love of Krishna in separation is the easiest way of success for all living entities. And some people say that actually, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for him, it is easy for him to actually cultivate the mood of separation from Krishna. So, because he is the Supreme Lord, therefore, he can approach Krishna in any way he likes. But we cannot follow this mood of separation from Krishna, some people say like that. But actually, to nullify this idea, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated practically how one can achieve love of Krishna by adopting Srimati Radharani's mood in separation from Krishna. So one thing we see that Mahaprabhu himself was in that mood, but at the same time it is actually, he is also teaching the sadhakas, the conditioned souls, how this is the easiest way of achieving perfection. So Prabhupada writes in on purport that how the ecstasy of separation basically is the mood of Vipralamba. So Vipralamba Bhava is actually essential to the happiness of Samboga, because Vipralamba actually it enhances the happiness during meeting, and Vipralamba is as relishable and as blissful as the mood of Samboga. So because the transcendentally ecstatic nature of Vipralamba may also be understood in the following way. Everyone accepts the ultimate state of bliss as being union with Sri Krishna. And if separation is going to enhance the union, then that means the constitution of separation, it cannot be of a lesser nature. If Vipralamba is going to enhance Samboga, then it can, the constitution of Vipralamba cannot be of a lesser nature. So therefore, we must conclude that Vipralamba is as relishable and blissful as the state of meeting with Krishna. And then Shivaram Maharaj explains that actually Vipralamba is more important than Sambhog. It's more important than Sambhog. So, says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the example of his actual life, taught Vipralamba Seva. Why did the Lord do that? Because it protects the sadhakas from being victimized by the cheating propensity and imagining that they have achieved Krishna or they have seen Krishna in a premature stage of bhakti. So we are basically making three points here. Vipralamba is essential to the happiness of Sambhoga. And second is that Vipralamba is as relishable and blissful as Sambhoga. And third point is that Vipralamba is more important than Sambhoga because Vipralamba protects the sadhakas from being victimized by the illusory energy because of that, like from being from the cheating propensity, from being victimized by cheating propensity, because of that a person sometimes imagines that, oh, I have seen Krishna. I have seen Krishna or achieved Krishna. So in that sense Vipralamba is more important than Sambhoga because of so here Prabhupada says this is the easiest way of success for all the living entities. Because Mahaprabhu practically demonstrated. Divyonmade aichekaya kiha vismaya adiruda bhave divyonmada pralapahaya.
Such is the state of transcendental madness. Why is it difficult to understand? When one is highly elevated in love of Krishna, he becomes transcendentally mad and talks like a madman.
So basically, Mahaprabhu's state of Divya Unmada, transcendental madness. So the definition of Divya Unmada from Ujjwala Neelamani. So Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he describes the five rasas, so when he comes to Madhurya Rasa, he says that because the topic of Madhurya Rasa is a very highly esoteric, because it can be misunderstood by people. So therefore, I will describe only briefly in this book. He just mentions briefly. In fact, in the Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, Dasya Rasa is, I think, 4 or 5 chapters, if I remember. Sakya Rasa is also 2-3 chapters. So Madhurya Rasa is actually a short chapter. So Rupa Goswami has only described briefly because there is a tendency to misunderstand Madhurya Rasa. But in Ujjwala Neelamani, I think Rupa Goswami has elaborately described Madhurya Rasa. So there is a definition from Ujjwala Neelamani, Divyon Madha. We will recite together this verse. Yetasya mohanakyasya gatim kamapyupeyushah brahmaba kapi vaichitri divyon madayitiryate udgurna chitra jalpadya tadbeda bhagavomata.
When the ecstatic emotion of enchantment gradually progresses, it becomes similar to bewilderment. Then one reaches the stage of astonishment, vaichitra, which awakens transcendental madness. Udrunna and Chitra Jalpa are two amongst the many divisions of transcendental madness.
So basically he says that when the mood known as Mohana and it gradually progresses, it comes to the mood of Brahma, bewilderment. Then a person reaches the stage of Vaichitri, then comes Divya Unmada. From Mohana to Brahma, Brahma to Vaichitri, and Vaichitri transforms into Divya Unmada. So that is how he is describing these four stages. And then he says that within Divyonmada there are two divisions. That is Udgurna and Chitrajalpa. Yeah, then having then Kaviraj Goswami starts describing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting, in his dream he saw Krishna performing Rasa Leela with the gopis. So he saw that how Lord Krishna was standing in his threefold bending form, holding his flute, and he was wearing a beautiful yellow garments, and he was enchanting even to Cupid. And he saw that how the gopis were actually dancing along with Krishna in a circle. And the middle of that circle, Krishna was dancing along with Srimati Radharani. So basically Mahaprabhu saw in a dream the scene of Rasa Leela. When he saw that scene, Mahaprabhu came to the conclusion that, oh, I am with Krishna. I am with Krishna. He was overwhelmed with the transcendental mellow and he came to the conclusion. 21st verse. Prabhu Ravilamba Deki Govinda Jagaila. Jagile Swapna Jnana Haila Prabhu Dukhi Haila.
Jagile Swapna Jnana Haila Prabhu Dukhi Haila.
When Govinda saw that the Lord has not yet risen, he awakened him. Understanding that he had only been dreaming, the Lord was somewhat unhappy.
So that day, because of this dream, Mahaprabhu had not actually got up. So Govinda became actually a little concerned, and then he woke up the Supreme Lord. And then when Mahaprabhu was woken up, he became unhappy because his dream was broken. But Mahaprabhu felt that, oh, it was just a dream. Because in his dream he was thinking that I am with Krishna, but then when he realized that it is only a dream, then Mahaprabhu became unhappy. Then Mahaprabhu goes to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So then there is a very beautiful, simple pastime. And when he goes to take darshan of Jagannath, so Mahaprabhu, as usual, he was standing near the Garuda Stambha and he was taking darshan. So that time there were like crowds of people came. And there was a Orissa, one old lady from, one old Orian lady, she came to take darshan. And she was so eager to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. She climbed on Garuda Stambha, she put one of her feet on Garuda Stambha and another feet on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulder to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So when Govinda saw this, he actually chastised the Odia lady. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, when he saw that Govinda is actually chastising the Odia lady, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises Odia lady. So 26th verse. Adivasiya yei strire nakara varjana. Karuka yateshta jagannatha darshana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Govinda, O Adivasi, do not forbid this woman to climb the Garuda Stambha. Let her see Lord Jagannath to her satisfaction.
So he is, Mahaprabhu chastised him as actually uncivilized person, Adivasi. So you can see it's a strong word. Govinda felt that this Odia lady had committed two offenses. He had offended the devotee of the Lord, Garuda, by putting her feet on Garuda Stambha, and she has also offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead by putting her feet on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Govinda told her to come down, but Mahaprabhu is chastising him as an uncivilized Adivasi. And then he further says, Aste vyaste sei nari bhumete namila. Mahaprabhu re deki tandra charana vandila.
Woman came to her senses. However, she quickly climbed back down to the ground and seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately begged at his lotus feet for forgiveness.
But there is another meaning of the word Adivasi, that means, which comes in the Adi Leela, Antya Leela chapter 10. So there it means that Prabhupada has given the meaning, one who has been living with a person for a long time. This is another explanation of the word Adivasi. But here Adivasi is translated as uncivilized birth. So that Oriya lady came and actually she came down in haste and then she begged forgiveness. But Mahaprabhu especially, Mahaprabhu praises the eagerness of this Odia lady, that I don't have such eagerness like this lady to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu aspires for that eagerness.
Tara aarti dekhi Prabhu kahite lagila. Yeta aarti Jagannatha morana hi dila.
Seeing the woman's eagerness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Jagannath has not bestowed so much eagerness upon me.
So essentially you see that when somebody does with genuine eagerness or and enthusiasm, that time if a person commits some mistake, that is not taken seriously. Just like that time if a person breaks certain etiquette, this one, like for example, Maitreya Rishi, he directly starts describing the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. He should have first described pastimes of like Swayambhu Manu's two sons, Uttanapada and Priyavrat Maharaj. The eldest son is Priyavrat Maharaj. So logically, first he should describe the eldest son and then his dynasty, and then the younger son and then his dynasty. But Maitreya Rishi is directly jumping to the grandson of Swayambhu Manu through his younger son. That is Dhruva Maharaj. Because Maitreya Rishi is very eager to describe. Or in the 10th canto, Yadoshcha Dharma Shilasya. Soma Suryayo, that word comes like 10th canto, first verse, first or second verse. Soma Suryayo. Parishit Maharaj is saying that you have described the dynasty of moon god and sun god. So actually first, the normal etiquette is first one should mention the sun god and then one should mention the moon god. Sunday always comes before Monday. But here, Parishit Maharaj is mentioning moon god and then he mentions the sun god. It is nonsense, a breach of etiquette. But actually why is Parishit Maharaj mentioning that? Krishna appeared in the Soma dynasty and he's expressing his eagerness to hear more about the Krishna's pastimes who appeared in the moon dynasty. So sometimes out of eagerness when a person breaks certain etiquette or this one, that is not taken seriously. So Mahaprabhu is actually glorifying that eagerness. And he's feeling that actually Lord Jagannath had not bestowed such eagerness upon him. And Mahaprabhu says that she has fully absorbed her body, mind and life in Lord Jagannath. Therefore, she was unaware that she was putting her foot on my shoulder. How unfortunate this woman is that I pray at her feet that she favor me with her great eagerness to see Lord Jagannath.
Purve asi yabe kaila jagannatha darshana. Jagannate deke sakshat vrajendra nandana.
Just previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been seeing Lord Jagannath as Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, in person.
So previously, Mahaprabhu was seeing Jagannath as Krishna, but when he was seeing Jagannath as Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he assumed the mood of the gopis, and he was actually look he looked everywhere and he saw Krishna standing with his flute to his lips. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to his external consciousness. So in his internal consciousness, he saw Jagannath as non-different from Krishna of Vrindavan. But when he returned to external consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees Jagannath as Krishna of Kurukshetra. So that is, in internal consciousness, Jagannath as Krishna of Vrindavan. In external consciousness, he sees Jagannath as Krishna in Kurukshetra. 33rd verse. Ebe yadi stri re deki prabhura bahya haila. Jagannatha Subhadra Balarama Swarupa Dekila.
After seeing the woman, the Lord's external consciousness returned and he saw the original deity forms of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra and Lord Balaram.
So now when he saw the original deity forms of Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, what was his mood? Kurukshetre deki Krishne aiche haila mana. Kaha Kurukshetre aila kaha Vrindavana.
When he saw the deities, Lord Chaitanya thought he was seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. He wondered, have I come to Kurukshetra? Where is Vrindavan?
So Mahaprabhu, because he in his consciousness, he returned from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra. He is seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. And he felt as if, he is feeling as if like he has lost a great jewel. As a person who has lost a great jewel. And he becomes very much agitated. In that agitated state, he actually returned home. And then when he returned home, like he was sitting in the ground and then he started scratching the ground and began to mark it with his fingernails. He was so blinded by the tears, it was flowing, the tears were flowing from his eyes like the Ganges. Then Mahaprabhu is saying, the 37th verse, Pailu Vrindavana Nata Punaharailu Kemore Nileke Krishna Kahamui Ainu.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I found Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, but I have lost him again. Who has taken my Krishna? Where have I come? Where I have come?
So Prabhupada is basically describing the purport, the events, the same verses, translation of the verses, he is actually describing the purport. How Mahaprabhu returned from the mood of Vrindavan to the, like, he was seeing Krishna in Vrindavan and then he returned to the external consciousness, he saw Krishna in Kurukshetra. So he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by practical example how one can cultivate the mood of Radharani and the other gopis in separation from Krishna. And devotees absorbed in this mood do not like to see Krishna anywhere else but Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu lamented, I found Krishna in Vrindavan, but now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra. And then Prabhupada writes here again, unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, however, has tried to explain this Divyonmada as far as possible. And it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. That is why author has made request in that particular 11th verse. Try to hear with description with faith and love. So when he came back to his external consciousness, he felt that as if he had lost a precious jewel. So then, 39th verse. Unmattera praya prabhu karena gana nritya. Dehera swabhave karen snana bhojan kritya.
Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant and dance, always absorbed in the bliss of transcendental madness. He carried out the necessities of the body, such as eating and bathing, merely out of habit.
So you see that this verse is a beautiful verse. So Mahaprabhu, he was always absorbed in the transcendental madness. So other bodily activities were going on, but they were going on just, he was performing them just out of habit. Usually, like in our case, like our devotional activities sometimes become out of habit. Like we are going through the chanting session, or we are standing in front of the Mangala Arati, and the whole morning program has gone, but our mind has gone so many different places. Because out of habit, we just went through the morning program, but our consciousness was never like many. Like it was not there fully into it. So, but Mahaprabhu, but usually in the bodily activities, our consciousness becomes actually deeper. But Mahaprabhu's consciousness was that in the bodily activity, they were going out of habit, but his consciousness was in the transcendental state of transcendental madness. So then in the night time, Mahaprabhu would reveal to Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai about the feelings of his mind. 41st verse, 41st to 52nd verse. In these 12 verses, Mahaprabhu describes the ecstatic feelings of his mind to Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. So, 41st verse. Praptapanastachutavitta atma Yayau Vishado Jita Deha Geha Grihita Kapalika Dharma Kome Vrindavanam Sendriya Shishya Vrinda
Vrindavanam Sendriya Shishya Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "At first my mind somehow achieved the treasure of Krishna, but it again lost him. Therefore it gave up my body and home because of lamentation and accepted the religious principle of a Kapalika yogi. Then my mind went to Vrindavan with its disciples, my senses."
So these are like quite esoteric verses. The next verse, we'll just go through these verses. Prapta ratna harantara guna sanariya. No, can you say, I forgot the tune actually. Devashishtra, you can do.
Bhushanta pevihala
Prapta ratna haratara gun chariya Mahaprabhu santape vihvala
Raya swarupera kantha dhari kahe ha hari hari dharja gela hai la chapala
Raya swarupera kantha dhari kahe ha hari hari dharja gela hai la chapala.
Having lost his acquired gem, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with lamentation. By remembering its attributes, then grasping the necks of Ramananda Rai and Swarupa Damodar Goswami, he cried, "Alas, where is my Lord Hari? Where is Hari?" Finally, he became restless and lost all presence.
Yeah. Next verse also.
Shuna Bandhava Krishnera Madhuri
Shuna Bandhava Krishnera Madhuri
Jara Lobhe Mora Mana Chhadi Loka Veda Dharma Jogi Haya Hoi Labhikari
Yara Lobhe Mora Mana Chhadi Loka Veda Dharma Yogi Haya Hoi Labhikari.
My dear friends, he said, "Please hear of Krishna's sweetness. Because of a great desire for that sweetness, my mind has given up all social and Vedic religious principles and taken to the profession of begging exactly like a mystic yogi."
So Mahaprabhu is talking about the effect of hearing Krishna's sweetness, that one has given up all the social and Vedic religious principles. Okay, next verse.
Krishna Lila Mandala Shuddha Shankha Kundala Gadhi Ache Shukha Karikara.
Krishna Lila Mandala Shuddha Shankha Kundala Gadi Ache Shuka Karikara.
Sei Kundala Kane Pari Krishna Lao Thali Dhari Asha Juli Kandhera Upara.
Sei Kundala Kani Pari Krishna Lao Thali Dhari Asha Juli Kandhera Upara.
The ring of Krishna's Rasalila manufactured by Sukadev Goswami, the most auspicious craftsman, is pure as an earring made from conchal. The yogi of my mind is wearing that earring upon his ear. From a god he has carved the bowl of my aspirations and he has taken the bag of my expectations on his shoulder.
So that's a beautiful description of Mahaprabhu. The next verse he says that the yogi of my mind wears the torn quilt of anxiety on his dirty body, which is covered with the dust and ashes, and his only words are, alas, Krishna. And then he says that he wears the 12 bangles of distress on his wrist and a turban of greed on his head. Because he has not eaten anything, he is very thin. Vyasa Shukadi Yogi Gana Krishna Atma Niranjana Vraje Tandra Yata Lila Gana.
Yasukadi Yogi Gana Krishna Atma Niranjana Vraje Tandra Yata Lila Gana.
Bhagavatadi Shastri Gane Kariyache Varnane Sei Tarja Pade Anukshana.
Bhagavatadi Shastri Gane
The great yogi of my mind always studies the poetry and discussions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, great saintly yogis like Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami have described Lord Krishna as the super soul beyond all material contamination.
Dashendriya Shishyakari Mahabhaula Namadari Shishyalaya Karila Gamana. Mora Deha Swasadana Vishaya Boga Mahadana Saba Chadi Gela Vrindavana.
The name Mahabhaula and made disciples of my 10 senses. Thus my mind has gone to Vrindavan, leaving aside the home of my body and the great treasure of material enjoyment.
Vrindavane Prajagana Yatastava Rajangama Vrikshalata Grihastha Ashrame. Taragare Bhikshatana Fala Mula Patrashana Yei Vriti Kare Shishya Sane.
In Vrindavan, he goes from door to door wagging arms with all his disciples. He begs from both the moving and the inert inhabitants, the citizens, the trees and the creepers. In this way, he lives on fruits, roots and leaves.
Krishna guna rupa rasa ganda shabda parasha sei sudha aswade gopi gana.
Krishna guna rupa rasa ganda shabda parasha sei sudha aswade gopi gana.
तस बार ग्रास शेषे आणि पंचेन्द्रिय शिष्ये से भिक्षाय राकेन जीवन
The gopis of Vrajbhumi always taste the nectar of Krishna's attributes, his beauty, his sweetness, his aroma, the sound of his flute, and the touch of his body. My mind's five disciples, the senses of perception, gather the remnants of that nectar from the gopis and bring them to the yogi of my mind. The senses maintain their lives by eating those remnants.
So this like quiet esoteric verses, Mahaprabhu's appreciation, is saying that how his mind being attracted with the sweetness of Krishna, it has wandered the forest of Vrindavan. The mind has got 10 disciples in the form of the 10 senses. And the mind getting attracted by Krishna's sweetness, it has left the body and it has gone into the forest of Vrindavan. And because of being attracted by the sweetness of Krishna, it has broken all the religious principles, Vedic and social religious principles. So basically, Mahaprabhu is in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, how they actually went to meet Krishna by breaking all these religious principles. So there is a solitary garden where Krishna enjoys his pastimes, and in one corner of a pavilion in that garden, the yogi of my mind along with his disciples practices mystic yoga. Wanting to see Krishna directly, this yogi remains awake throughout the night, meditating on Krishna, who is the super soul uncontaminated with the three modes of nature. The 51st verse describes the outward activities of this Kapalika yogi. Does anybody know who is the Kapalika yogi?
Because skull with a danda type of thing.
Okay.
And the black magic and all they do.
So when my mind lost the association of Krishna and could no longer see him, he became depressed and took up mystic yoga. In the void of separation from Krishna, he experienced 10 transcendental transformations. Agitated by these transformations, my mind fled, leaving my body, its place of residence, empty. Thus I am completely in trance. So Prabhupada writes here, the outward activities of the Kapalika mendicants have been described, but not their actual life. The Kapalika mendicants are tantric materialists who carry skulls in their hands. They are not Vaishnavas and have nothing to do with spiritual life. Therefore they are untouchable. Only an outward comparison has been made between the mind and their activities, but their behavior should never be imitated. So then it's described that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced 10 kinds of bodily transformations. And all these 10 times of bodily transformations are described again from the Ujjwala Neelamani, 53rd verse. Chintatra jagarodvego Thanavam malinangata Pralapo vyadir unmado Moho mrityur dasha dasha.
The 10 bodily transformations resulting from separation from Krishna are anxiety, wakefulness, mental agitation, thinness, uncleanness, talking like a madman, disease, madness, illusion and death.
So this verse is from Ujjwala Neelamani. So Prabhupada has given a definition of all these 10 symptoms from based on Rupa Goswami's Ujjwal Neelamani only. So there are one words for each of the 10 symptoms. Chinta, Jagara, Udvega, Tanava, all those 10 symptoms. That's the entire purport is basically the 10 verses and the 10 translations. So for example, for Chinta, there is a verse from Hamsadutta. So at Akrura's request, Krishna and Balram left the house of Nanda Maharaj for Mathura. At that time, the mind of Srimati Radharani was disrupted and she became almost mad because of extreme separation from Krishna. She experienced a great mental pain and agitation which caused her to drown in mental speculation in the river of anxiety. She thought, now I am going to die, and when I die, Krishna will surely come back to see me again. But when he hears of my death from the people of Vrindavan, he will certainly be very unhappy. Therefore, I shall not die. So, this is an instance where this emotion was exhibited by Srimati Radharani. Next verse, we'll recite together, Jagaran. या पश्यन्ति प्रियं स्वप्ने धन्यास्ता सखि योषिता अस्माकं तु गते कृष्णे गता निद्रापि वैरिणी. Need the translation.
Thinking herself very unfortunate, Srimati Radharani addressed her very dear friend Vishakha. My dear friends, if I could see Krishna in my dreams, I would certainly be glorified for my great fortune. But what can I do? Sleep also plays mischievously with me. Indeed, it has become my enemy. Therefore, I have not slept since the departure of Krishna.
The sleep has become the enemy. Jagaran. And mental agitation, a similar verse. Thinness, that means losing weight, and the bodily luster is almost gone, and the bodily luster is, the breasts have become black as if diseased, and because of separation from Krishna, all the gopis appear like dried up water holes under the scorching heat of the sun. These are all actually thinness. And then the fifth is that malina angata, or uncleanliness. The tribulation caused by your absence has made Vishakha languid. Her lips tremble like trees in a strong wind. Her beautiful face is like a lotus flower that has withered under the snow. And her eyes are like lotus petals scorched by the heat of the autumn sun. And then there is Pralapa, mad talking. We can read the translation of Pralapa. This is
Srimati Radharani's lamentation for her beloved Krishna, who was away from home. A woman whose husband has left home and gone to a foreign land is called Proshita Bhartrika. Lamenting for Krishna in the same way that such a woman laments for her husband, Srimati Radharani said, "My dear friends, where is the glory of the family of Maharaj Dan, who wears a half moon ornament on his head? Where is Krishna, whose hue is like that of the Indranil jewel and who plays so nicely on his flute? Where is your friend, the best of all men, so expert in dancing in the circle of the Rasa dance? Where is he who is the real medicine to save me from dying of heart disease? I must condemn Providence, for he has caused me so many tribulation by separating me from Krishna."
It's a mad talking. Disease. I cannot bear suffering the fever of separation from Krishna, nor can I explain it to you. It is something like gold melting in an earthen box. This fever produces more distress than poison, and it is more piercing than a thunderbolt. I suffer exactly like someone almost dead from a cholera. To be giving me so much pain, this fever must be very strong indeed. And there is Unmada.
Thou said to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, all the gopis are so afflicted by your absence that they have become almost mad. O Murari, at home, Srimati Radharani laughs unnecessarily and like a mad woman inquire about you from every entity without distinction. Even from the stones, she rolls on the ground unable to bear the agony of your absence."
So in this way, all these 10 symptoms are described. So these are just like from this, we can just appreciate, even if we can just appreciate this love exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that itself is actually our success. As Shrinvanti Gayanti, Smaranti Abhikshana, Shrinvanti Gayanti, Grinanti Abhikshnasha, Smaranti Nandanti, Tave Hitam Jana, Tayeva Pashyanti Achirena Tavakam, Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Bhajam. One who simply takes pleasure in others experiencing or advancing in devotional service by hearing and chanting, they also achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have to develop appreciation for Mahaprabhu's symptoms of ecstasy. So Mahaprabhu was in this way overwhelmed with these 10 symptoms. So Mahaprabhu, after speaking like this, he fell silent. So that time Ramananda Rai would actually pacify Mahaprabhu by reciting verses, and Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing songs. Ramananda Rai would recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, and Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas. So in this way, so they were pacifying. Then actually after half the night passed away, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually chanting the holy names. They made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lie down on his bed in the inner room, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he almost remained awake throughout the entire night, and he was chanting the holy names. Now the next pastime starts from 59th to 80th verse. So when he was chanting the holy names, and after some time, so Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, they were remaining outside the room, but after some time they could not hear the chanting of the holy names by Mahaprabhu. So then they became concerned, and then they entered the room to find out why the sound is not being heard. And when they entered the room, to their surprise that they could not see Mahaprabhu. It was actually midnight. So when they could not see Mahaprabhu, all the devotees became very anxious, and they started searching for Mahaprabhu with a lantern. With a warning lamp. So when they started searching, they came to the place of the northern side of the Swimmadwara gate. So when they came there, so they found Mahaprabhu. So they became happy, but when they actually observed the state of Mahaprabhu, and seeing that, they became actually completely unhappy, and they became they were shocked to see the state of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The condition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, that is described in 64th to 68th verse. 64th verse. Prabhu padi achendirga hata pancha chaya. Achetana dehana sae shwasana hivaya.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying unconscious, and his body has been elongated to 5 or 6 cubits. There was no breath from his nostril.
So practically, not even a dead body, it appeared like a very peculiar sight actually. The body had become elongated. Already Mahaprabhu he had a very tall body, but his body had elongated to 5 or 6 cubits, and there was no symptom of breathing, and the Lord's body temperature indicating life was very low. The joints in his body were separated by at least 6 inches, joints in his arms, legs, neck, etc. And then it appeared that only skin covered his elongated joints. There was no bones or something, I don't know. So only skin covered his elongated joints. And seeing the Lord's condition, all the devotees were very unhappy. And all the devotees almost died when they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saliva was coming out. That was something like a almost like symptom of a dead body. And foam was coming out, and his eyes had actually turned upward. So it was like they were completely very much concerned. Then the devotees started Sankirtan. They started chanting the holy names loudly for a long time. After a long time of chanting the holy names, then Mahaprabhu suddenly arose. And then he suddenly stood up and said, Hari Bol. 71st verse. Chetana paite asti sandhi lagila. Purva praya yatavata sharira haila.
As soon as Lord returned to external consciousness, all his joints contracted and his entire body returned to normal.
Then he came to the body, became normal. So this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappearing from his room in Gambira and devotees finding him in the Simhadwara gate. So this pastime has been described by Rupa Goswami in his Gauranga Stavak Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunadas Goswami. So that verse will recite, 73rd verse. Kvachin Mishra. Kvachin Mishra Vase Vrajapati. Brahma. The Vedeshu Durlabha Madurlabha Mahatma Bhakti. Janmadhyasya, that Kvachin Mishra Vase Vrajapati Sutas. No, I think. Kvachin Mishra Vase Vrajapati Sutas Yor Virahat. Shlatat Shri Sanditva Dadadika Dairgyam Bujapado. Lutan Bhumau Kakva Vikala Vikalam Gadgadavacha. Rudan Shri Gauranga Hridaya Udayan Mam Madayati.
In the house of Kashi Mishra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes be greatly aggrieved, feeling separation from Krishna. The joints of his transcendental body would slacken, and his arms and legs would become elongated. Rolling on the ground, the Lord would cry out in distress in a faltering voice and weep very sorrowfully. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakening in my heart maddens me.
So then Kaviraj Goswami continues the pastime. When Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness, he asked the devotees that what am I doing here? The devotees actually described all the details, like how they were searching for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the room and they came here. Then Mahaprabhu said, actually I don't remember any of these things. All I can remember is that I saw Krishna, but only for an instant. And then he appeared before me and then immediately disappeared. So when Mahaprabhu said like that, at that time the morning Mangalarti conch shell blew. So then everyone went to Jagannath temple to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So then Kaviraj Goswami concludes this pastime in the 80th verse. Yaita kahilu prabhura adbhuta vikara. Yahara shravane loke lage chamatkara.
Thus I have described the uncommon transformation of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When people hear about this, they are very much astonished.
So he is again describing this, concluding this thing about this pastime. Loke nahi deki aiche shastre nahi shuni. Hena bhava vyakta kare nyasi chudamani.
No one has witnessed such bodily changes elsewhere, nor has anyone read of them in the revealed scripture. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme sannyasi, exhibited these ecstatic symptoms.
So Kaviraj Goswami is saying that these ecstasies are not described even in the Shastras. And they are not, they are inconceivable to the common man. Therefore, people in general do not believe in them. But as far as I am concerned, and I believe in them strongly. He says that Raghunath Das Goswami lived continuously with Mahaprabhu, and I am simply recording whatever I have heard from him. Although common people do not believe in these pastimes, but I believe in them totally. So now the next pastime from 84th to 123rd verse. Almost till the, basically the end of the chapter. This is the pastime of the Chatak Parvat. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so when he was going to take bath in the sea, he saw a sand dune named Chatak Parvat. And he mistook the Chatak Parvat to be Govardhan Hill. So then he remembered that Govardhan Hill. Then he chants this verse. Hantaya Madrirabala Haridasa Varyo. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayosta Yoryat. Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kanda Moolai.
Lord Chaitanya said, of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balram, as well as their calves and cows and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers and vegetables. In this way the hill offer respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant.
So when Mahaprabhu saw this sand dune and then he started running after this Govardhan Hill, he ran with such a great speed, he ran at the speed of mind. And the devotees started running after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many devotees started running. Even the elderly devotees. Who are the elderly devotees? Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati. And Brahmananda Bharati was a little lame. Not only old, he was lame. He also started running. He started running behind this devotee slowly. Then Mahaprabhu was running at a great speed. And suddenly he became stunned in ecstasy. And then suddenly he lost all the strength to proceed further. So usually when there is a sudden break when you put, at least still the vehicle will go for some time and then it will stop. Mahaprabhu was running so fast, but suddenly he actually stood standstill and he couldn't actually proceed further. And then there is a description of Mahaprabhu's like a bodily eruptions and signs of ecstasy from 92nd to 96th verse. 92nd verse.
Prati Roma Kupe Mamsa Vranera Akara Tara Upare Romodgama Kadamba Prakara.
The flesh at each of his pores erupted like pimples, and his bodily hair standing on end appeared like kadamba flower.
So blood and perspiration poured from every pore of his body, and he couldn't speak a word. He was making a gargling sound. And then tears started flowing from his eyes like a meeting of the Yamuna and Ganges. And the color of the body became, it changed the color of a white conch shell, and his body began to quiver like the waves in the ocean. And after exhibiting these symptoms, then Mahaprabhu suddenly falls down and becomes unconscious. So when he becomes unconscious, at that time, all the devotees one by one reach there. So Govinda reaches, 97th verse. So what the devotees did in order to revive Mahaprabhu, that is described in 97 to 101. Karangera jale kare sarvanga sinchana bahirvasalaya kare anga samvijana
bahirvasalaya kare anga samvijana.
Govinda is sprinkled water from a karanga water pot and over all over the Lord's body, and then taking his own outer garments, he began to fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So you see that this time they not only chanted the holy names loudly for a long time, they actually sprinkled cooling water over the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Usually when a person is unconscious or sleeping, as soon as even one or two drops of cool water touches, immediately person gets up. They chanted the Hare Krishna and then they washed his body with cold water. The devotees were struck with wonder at such a sight. So, and then after a long time, Mahaprabhu suddenly stood up and shouted, Hari Bol. So when Mahaprabhu suddenly got up and chanted, then he came to what is called as half external consciousness. So in complete internal consciousness, he mistook the sand dune to be Govardhan. He started running. And then when he became unconscious, and then when he got up, then he came to Ardha Bakya Chetana, or half external consciousness. 103rd verse. Uti Mahaprabhu Vismita Iti Uti Chaya Yedekite Chayataha Dekite Napaya.
Astonished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and began looking here and there, trying to see something, but he could not catch sight of it.
So again, he asked all the Vaishnavas that, why did you bring me here? Who has brought me here? Then he was saying that actually he was describing what he was actually in, what he was seeing. So I saw Krishna along with the cowherd boys entering the Govardhan Hill. And then I went to Govardhan Hill to find out if Krishna was tending his cows there. And there I saw that how Krishna was taking care of all the cows along with the cowherd boys. So when I heard the Krishna's flute, Srimati Radharani and all the other sakis, they also came to meet Krishna there. And then Mahaprabhu says, Srimati Radharani and the sakis, they told me to actually pluck some flowers. So here, in this particular pastime, the speciality of this pastime is that Mahaprabhu is in the mood of a gopi or a sakhi in this pastime. Who are actually assisting Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. So then Mahaprabhu said that when Krishna and Srimati Radharani entered a cave together, the gopis asked me to pick some flowers. And then when I went to actually pick flowers, and at that time suddenly all of you appeared and then you have brought me here. So why did you bring me here? And then this way Mahaprabhu is actually chastising her. Then Mahaprabhu started weeping. And Mahaprabhu started weeping, all the devotees started weeping. So then at that time, when all the devotees and Mahaprabhu, when they were weeping, so at that time, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, they arrived. Because they were a little old, they were actually coming slowly. And when they arrive, and seeing them, Mahaprabhu comes to complete external consciousness. So he was in complete internal consciousness when he saw the sand dune, and then he came to half external consciousness, and the devotees actually brought him by chanting the holy names and this one. And then by seeing Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri, he came to complete external consciousness. So as soon as he saw them, He actually offers obeisances to them. He actually offers respects to them. He becomes respectful. Then Mahaprabhu inquires like, why did you come here? Then Brahmananda Bharati and Brahmananda Puri say that we came to witness your dancing. Then Mahaprabhu becomes somewhat embarrassed. And then he actually went along with all the devotees to take bath in the sea. 117th verse. Snanakari Mahaprabhu Garete Aila Sabalaya Mahaprasada Bojana Karila.
After bathing in the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with all the devotees. Then they all lunched on the remnants of food offered to Lord Jagannath.
Yaita kahilu prabhura divyonmada bhava Brahmavo kahite nare yahara prabhava.
Thus I have described the transcendental ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma cannot describe their influence.
So now Kaviraj Goswami quotes a verse which was composed by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, which describes the same pastime. Samipe Niladre Chatakagiri Rajasya Kalanat Aye Goshte Govardhana Giripatim Lokitum Itaha. Vrajan Asmit Yuktva Pramada Yivad Dayan Avadrito. Ganai Svair Gaurango Hridaya Udayan Mam Madayati.
Near Jagannath Puri is a great sand dune known as Chatak Parvat. Seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, I shall go to the land of Raja to see Govardhan Hill." Then he began running madly towards it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. The scene awakens in my heart and maddens me.
Yebe Prabhu Yata Kaila Alauki Kalila Kevarnite Pareseyi Mahaprabhu Rakela.
Who can properly describe all the uncommon pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are all simply his play.
Sankshepe kahiya kari dikdarshana Yehi hashune paya krishnera charana.
I have briefly described them just to give an indication to his transcendental pastimes. Nevertheless, anyone who hears this will certainly attain the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet.
So it's basically just to give an indication of his transcendental pastimes. He has mentioned briefly. Shri Rupa Raghunate Padeyara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps.
So we'll take a break. Take up the next chapter after the break.